Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, for Mexicali and Imperial Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingüe. Our phone number here at the station is area code 760-337-8874. Good morning, good morning. Today we have a really good show. We have Amy Bingley from Public Health Department, and she has all these titles behind her, and I was just amazed. She has a doctorate in public health. She is a registered dietitian and a community health education specialist.
Very close.
Certified health education specialist.
Perfect.
And she is for the public health program planning and evaluation specialist.
It's still early in the morning.
Yes. Good morning. And welcome.
Morning. Thank you.
Good show. We're going to talk about today
obesity.
Why is it an issue? Why is obesity an issue?
Why is obesity an issue?
And why are we doing a show on obesity? I mean, there's been a lot of people that have been obese through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it such a concern now? And why do a show?
Well, I think one of the things is that we know over the last 30 years, obesity in childhood has tripled. So it's really becoming a major public health concern, as well as a concern in a variety of other areas, but particularly within public health. And we know with Imperial County specifically that just about 30% of our 2 to 5 year olds are obese or overweight. And then as we get to our 5 to 20 year olds, over 40% of those kids are overweight or obese. And we also know that those kids who are overweight or obese are more likely to become obese or overweight adults.
So do you have statistics on people that, let's say adults, as they're, this, right now you're saying it's just was going up and up and up as the age goes up. So as adults, is it more?
Our adults, yes, there are more adults who are becoming overweight and obese. Mm-hmm. And what the experts are saying is that this might be the first time that kids outlive their parents, or parents outlive their kids.
Mm-hmm. Because of obesity?
Yes.
Wow. But there's, I mean, for me, you know, I see with kids, you know, you talked about kids, you know, you have, and I was one of them. I was a parent of a, you know, my child, you know, when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was, I think, 6'7" when she was born, mm-hmm. 6 pounds, 7 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the doctor said it was fine because of my height and, you know, I'm only 4'11", so. So that was fine. But I was just, you know, I see these babies sometimes that were born, and I was comparing. I was doing a lot of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those round-cheeked, you know, chunky little huge legs and really fat little babies that just, and my daughter was never like that. She was just thin, but she was not, she never got, I just have to say, I made my first trip to the ER 2 weeks ago. So that was, I've never been to the ER with her. So that was the first time, but it was something minor.
Okay. She's
but
it, okay.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is that she was healthy, but she was never, you know, a chunky little baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always ask the pediatrician, is she okay? Is she eating enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is my daughter underweight? Because I have this perception of having a baby that was, you know, chunky and, you know, those huge legs and huge arms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when do parents, I mean, parents can just say, you know what, that's healthy or that's not healthy. When does it become an issue or a concern?
For the parents?
For obesity. For you say, you know, yes, that baby is obese or that child is obese. And other people can say, no, they're just, you know, healthy.
Well, if a parent's concerned about their child's weight, what we encourage is that they go to their provider, their medical provider, and talk to them about it. You always want to go to your medical provider, talk to them about it. The provider will provide some screenings And then probably we'll do some assessments around eating and dietary behaviors and physical activity, and possibly be referred to an RD. So one would want to start, if there's a concern as a parent, mm-hmm. to talk to your provider.
Or, you know, maybe get educated, you know, just
absolutely.
Parents
sure.
get to see, you know, okay, what is healthy, what is
You're absolutely
not healthy.
Right. You're absolutely right. And there's quite a bit of information out there now that's available on the web, whether it's from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or from the Department of Public Health, that provides a variety of pieces of information mm-hmm. that is easy to understand, provides simple steps. There is the myplate.gov, mm-hmm. which talks about and provides a visual in terms of what my plate should look like relative to fruits and vegetables, proteins, and things like that. So there's a lot of things out there nowadays that can help facilitate and encourage parents to kind of look and see so that they can kind of take ownership and inform themselves of healthy choices.
Okay. So what is your role then at Public Health?
My role at Public Health, as you very graciously and beautifully said when we started, is planning and evaluation. Mm-hmm. So I get to help develop public health programs, whether it's around obesity, nutrition, physical activity, possibly breastfeeding, a variety of topics within the public health arena, as well as help with evaluation. Mm-hmm. I get to provide trainings to staff. I get to act as a liaison between the public health department and universities. I have a great job. I love my job.
I can hear it.
I do.
There you go. Even Maya, he's like, yeah. But today mm-hmm. we're talking again about mm-hmm. obesity.
Right.
What are some of the concerns regarding with obesity? What can health issues come up with obesity? You were saying that mm-hmm. now it's come to... based on the research that even parents are going to outlive their kids because of obesity.
Right. So some of the concerns for youth, if they're obese, include things like hypercholesterolemia, so high cholesterol. We're seeing now things that we didn't see before, maybe 10 years ago, diabetes, type 2 diabetes in our adolescents. And before it was within adults, mm-hmm. but now we're seeing it because of the rates and the increase of weight
Is it here in Imperial Valley, I heard that the rates of diabetes for kids is very high. Is that true? Or, I mean, the rate of diabetes overall.
That would be a question, for example, for the Diabetes Management Center. Yeah.
Okay. And then what else? What other concerns?
Other issues, mm-hmm. for example, would be not being able to sleep well. Joint problems, and then as they get into adulthood, this increases their risk of adult chronic diseases, whether it's heart disease, different types of cancer. And another thing, going back to youth, those kids who have weight issues are challenged many times being physically active just as a result of their weight. Mm-hmm. So they may have asthma, it may be much more difficult to manage, or they might not want to go outside to be physically active because they don't want to, and they're concerned that they're going to trigger their asthma.
I'm thinking about other issues. Mm-hmm. Low self-esteem.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Low self-esteem, depression, eating disorders, feeling stigmatized, being teased.
And it's so hard because, you know, we live, you know, and we've talked about this in past shows, is that we live in a constant media mm-hmm. frenzy of how well you look. Look at these two singers that lost a lot of weight, mm-hmm. and now they're spokespersons, you know, and it's about these meal plans that they, I guess you get to the mail or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're right there wearing these tight little clothes and skimpy clothes. And we constantly, constantly, constantly see that on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, the reality shows, you know, the mm-hmm. that family that's made themselves famous for just being reality stars, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all wearing these little tight little clothes and models and constant, you know, this.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have these young teenagers, young kids that are looking at this and, you know, just, I mean, I even get depressed. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Right. Unfortunately, sometimes kind of trying to self-identify with that picture and kind of going over the edge in terms of trying to look like that picture and that person in the picture, which isn't necessarily a true depiction of that person.
And then you have, okay, you have these skimpy models, very good-looking men and women on TV, and then you have also these constant commercials about fast food. And the food looks really good. You know, the pizza, the hamburgers, you know, just...
Right. So. And the media, it's a great point that you bring up, because the media is a major factor when it comes to kids and food preferences. Just about 50% of advertisements that are directed towards kids promote food and beverages. And those food and beverages that are promoted are things like sweetened beverages, sodas, Gatorade, convenience foods, all of those kinds of food items that are high in calories, high in fat.
And sugar.
And sugar. And
all
and
these
influences.
Different And all these different chemicals that are hidden in there. I just came out one on the internet that this the famous hamburger place that has the golden things had a gooey pink stuff included in their there's some kind of chemical on their hamburger meat.
I haven't seen that.
It was a pink, it's a pink gooey thing, it's a preservative or something like that. And it's just in you know, what else is included in that hamburger? Mm-hmm. All these other chemicals. And it was really surprising.
And it's a great reason for us to cook more at home. So we know that exactly what's going into our meals and the ingredients, making healthier options, hopefully increasing our fruit and vegetables, lean meats, low-fat dairy or non-fat dairy products. A lot of advantages to
1%.
Cooking at home. 1% good choice. That's a great choice.
It took a couple of years from going from regular to 1%.
And for many people, it's baby steps, particularly when it comes to milk. And baby steps are great because that is how we are able to sustain new behaviors over time. If we do too much too soon, we get overwhelmed.
Well, it's like baby steps. You know, I work for mental health and alcohol and drug, and that's a good thing. And also this going cold turkey, people who go cold turkey, you know, most of the time they relapse again. And the same thing with, you know, people who go on these diets all the time, you know, crash diets for a week or 2 weeks, the no carb diets or the ones that they do cottage cheese and what is it? I don't know, cantaloupe or something, and you know, just and then they lose the weight. I've seen so many people, especially with a low carb diet, is that they lose the weight, and they do lose the weight. You can see them, and then it just comes back up again right away.
Right, because and many times it's because we're cutting out major food groups and we're not taking the baby steps, and so we go on a diet, we fall off the diet wagon. And then many of us will gain our weight back. But if we look at it not from a diet perspective, but from making healthy choices and healthy behaviors and doing some very small incremental changes, and your example of the milk is a perfect example, going from whole milk to low fat to 1% and maybe then to non-fat, going from a whole fat yogurt to a low fat or non-fat yogurt. Fatty meats to lean meats, taking the skin off of the chicken, things like that.
Little things
that add up.
I mean, for a lot of people, New Year's is a New Year's, and they make a lot of New Year's resolutions, and the most popular one is lose weight.
Right.
And they start, and somehow or another, it's just, because, and I've told you, it's because you're trying to drastic changes. You know, I think it's going to be almost a year that I stopped drinking sodas, you know, and sweet teas.
Another great example.
I just completely stopped, and I drink water, and fine. Water with lemon. I ordered, probably the restaurants don't like me because I don't order any soda or drink. What do you want to drink? Can I get some iced water with lemon? And that's it. Or I stopped, you know, just like flour tortillas. And now I eat corn tortillas. Little things like that. And instead of having a big, huge meal at dinner time, now I have, you know, just small. And actually now if I'm going to party or something, I have a dinner, I can't sleep. It's just so much food. I can't. So my stomach, I guess my system just has got used to it and not...
Mm-hmm. And it takes a while, but your body adjusts, your stomach shrinks.
I noticed.
Your taste preference changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And by accident the other day, I was at the movies and I had my soda, my daughter had the soda, sorry. And I had a water and I drank some of it. Oh my gosh, it was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So sweet.
Yes.
But, you know, just, I'm making changes and my daughter's more drinking into more water also and more milk. And mm-hmm. actually, I don't even have any sodas at home.
Mm-hmm. It's a great strategy.
I just have Small to make my husband.
Oh.
Listen.
Maybe we'll leave that for another show.
I know. But yes, small changes, small changes.
Mm-hmm.
So what can, what can we do? What can we do as a community? I mean, what is one of the things that we can do? I mean, we have a lot of obesity, especially with young children. And I go to my daughter's school or sometimes driving around here in the community mm-hmm. at the mall and you see these kids who are obese. I mm-hmm. mean, very obese. Some of them probably even weigh more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and there's a concern, but what can you say to the parent, you know, I mean, it's a concern for me because I know that with all these health concerns, it's going to affect the whole community mm-hmm. because of the cost of health care, you know, to take care of their diabetes or, you know, their cholesterol or their asthma or just a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do as a community, I mean, with families?
Great question. There's a variety of things we can do at a variety of levels. So, for example, at an individual or a family level, there are things we can do such as eating our meals together as a family, sitting at the table, making sure that our TVs are off, that we kind of put away the video games and we limit the screen time, that we encourage physical activity. We go for a walk around the block or we do some physical activity in the house. If it's, you know, kind of warm and it's summertime, we play in the hose. Some of the other things we can do is make sure we have breakfast. Drink water, water consumption. And the other one can be to, as we mentioned before, to choose healthier foods.
Mm-hmm.
So within our meals and our snacks, increase and kind of build in fruit and vegetables, fresh fruit and vegetable snacks, lean meats, string cheese, things like that. That's what we can do at a family and an individual behavioral level. Other things we can do and things that we're doing specifically for the project, the mm-hmm. Imperial County Childhood Obesity Prevention Project, is looking at policies and working with schools, working with child care centers, working with parks and rec departments to see what we can do and what works for them for sustainable interventions. For example, maybe increasing water availability in schools, increasing mm-hmm. the availability of fresh fruits and vegetables.
That is so important, especially mm-hmm. right now when you talked about the schools. I mm-hmm. get the menu for the, you know, my daughter's going to kinder, and you see the menu at the schools,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, what? You know, just mm-hmm. sometimes it's not very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I remember, and some of the schools have maybe snack machines and mm-hmm. soda machines,
mm-hmm.
you know, yes, it makes money because, you know, kids want the sodas, but
right.
What are we doing to right. take care of our community?
Some of the things, for example, that's outside of the project but are important interventions is there are some schools that are taking the vending machines out.
Good.
Or the soda machines out. And if they're available, the machines will have water or maybe
mm-hmm.
some other kind of relatively healthy beverage. And also looking at possibly menu items and also increasing and making an opportunity for physical activity in the school during school time.
We had, there's this local school here in the valley that they made their own food for in the cafeteria. You know, just mm-hmm. everything.
From scratch.
From scratch. They got rid of that completely. And, you know, they let go of the cooks
mm-hmm.
and they order in the food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so
and mm-hmm. I know they did that because of school budgets,
mm-hmm.
and but you know that was kind of it was sad to see
mm-hmm.
that, Because, you know, and I know this person, she was the cook there, and, I mean, she makes really good food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, but I think that's in the community level, you know, we need mm-hmm. to really think, okay, I mean, especially health. Health is so important. And maybe, and I know that keeping school budgets is also important.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow or another, they have to balance it out and see what is, you know, health, you know, what is for the benefit of our community, mm-hmm. of our kids.
Mm-hmm. And what works for the schools and the communities. Another area, in addition to the schools, are the child care centers.
Oh, that's true.
So one of the things that we've been doing as the public health department over the last few years is working with child care centers and providing nutrition education and sampling and recipes as a result of gardens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the community gardens.
Gardens that are on the child care center site.
Oh.
So the kids will work with the teachers and the parents, grow the fruit or vegetables,
so cool.
and then they'll take those fruits or vegetables or herbs mm-hmm. into the child care center sites and use those to prepare something to eat, and they'll have some tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that it's a great way to encourage the kids at a child care preschool level to, in a very safe and comfortable and inviting way, to try new foods that they may not have tried or have mm-hmm. been willing to try before.
My daughter was going, well, she's still going because she's still five, to the treehouse only when school permits and the time permits. But, yeah, at the treehouse, you mm-hmm. know, they taught a lot about, mm-hmm. you know, tasting different things.
Right.
You know, just, you know, different foods.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I think they have a preschool going at the treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their own food, and it smells so
mm-hmm.
good.
mm-hmm. And that's great, because we know the earlier we start working with our kids and our young ones in terms of adopting healthy food preferences,
mm-hmm.
it sticks. So it's never too early
mm-hmm.
to start introducing kind of the new foods, but in a safe and comfortable environment that's not,
unwelcoming.
Unwelcoming,
yes.
Right.
We were trying to think of the
Find
word.
Find the word.
Find the word. We got it.
Yay.
Okay, well, today we're talking to Amy Bingley, and she is a public health program planning and evaluation specialist from our own public health department here in Imperial County.
Yay!
And we're talking about obesity. But before that, we'll continue more about talking about other things that we can do here in the community to fight this obesity. But first, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We're glad you are tuning back to us. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Again, our phone number here at the station is 760-337-8874. And also you can access this podcast and past podcasts at kxoradio.com. I'm getting tongue-tied today. But we're back. We're talking to Amy Bingley, and she has her doctorate in public health, and she's a registered dietitian, and she is a certified health education specialist.
Perfect.
For public health, Imperial County Public Health. And we were talking today about obesity.
Yes.
We were talking about before the break, you know, things that we can do in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But a big question that I have, or concern that I have, is, what do we do in the cases that, you know, first of all, Imperial County has the highest unemployment rate here in the state and probably in the nation. We have very high rate of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And you were mentioning about, you know, making healthy choices and in regarding with food, you
mm-hmm.
know, the fruits and vegetables and lean meats.
Mm-hmm.
That costs money. That's expensive. I mean, health, you know, fruits, vegetables, you know, it's expensive, and lean meats, it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
what do we do here in the community that we have high poverty levels and people need to feed their family and they're on a limited budget and they can easily go get a large pizza for $5 and feed their family and their children are not hungry? Because the worst thing mm-hmm. for a parent is for your child to be hungry. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just, you know, I was telling mm-hmm. you in the break, if my daughter wants fish in the morning, I'll make the fish, you know, because, right. you know, just it's, what do you do in those cases? It's so, it's very complicated.
And you're exactly right. It is complicated. But there are ways, there are places where one can shop, that fresh fruits and vegetables are available at a very low cost locally. Mm-hmm. As well as learning to, and you're right about shopping on a budget. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of things we can do. We can teach ourselves, or we can have individuals help us kind of learn how to do meal planning, mm-hmm. how to shop on a budget, how to save money when I go to the store, shop for sales. But point well taken, and you're right, it's tough, particularly poverty, particularly in general now, it's tough for all of us just because of where we're at. But small changes, going back to small changes, whether it's, again, shopping on the sales, maybe doing coupons, menu planning, taking the weekend and creating and cooking big meals and then portioning them out for the week are great ways one can kind of stretch their food dollar.
I also have another way is I know there's a community garden mm-hmm. here in El Centro, mm-hmm. and they are growing vegetables, mm-hmm. and that's another way. I mean, you can go and help out, or like you said earlier, you know, in the daycare they have their little garden. People can start their own gardens at home too.
Excellent point. Yes, we can, and it does.
How it used to be back then.
Exactly.
How we used to grow our own food.
Mm-hmm. And one doesn't need a large plot of ground, lots of acres. One can make either above ground or raised gardens in their backyard, 12 by 12 or maybe 3 foot by 3 foot, and can produce a lot of produce. So that's an excellent point. One can start growing their fruits and vegetables and their herbs in their home. And they know exactly what the ingredients are. They know exactly where they came from. They know exactly what kind of stuff yeah. they put into yeah. the soil. Healthy choices.
Organic.
Sure. And it's a great way for the family to be involved.
Because the organic, if you go to a store and it's organic, mm-hmm. it's so much more expensive.
Mm, it can be. But doing it at home, mm-hmm. it can be a family event and an activity. It's a great way for one, if one has kids, to kind of see where and how vegetables grow and that they don't grow in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. And I can grow them in my backyard, and then many times...
They don't come out of a window either?
Drive-through
window?
They don't grow in the drive-through window. No, I'm sorry.
Well, it's because a lot of right. kids, you know, they yep. that's what they know.
Right.
Let's go get our food, and it comes out of a window.
Right, right. So this is a great way to just kind of shift the norms of our youth to know kind of where our food comes from.
Yeah.
And it can come from my backyard.
Too bad we can't have cows in the backyard. You know what? I don't even know. Can you have, like, chickens in the city of El Centro or in the cities? In the county. Mm-hmm. I live in the county. Mm-hmm. And we can have animals in the county. Where I live in the
right.
park.
Right. That's a great question, and I would refer you to the city of El Centro to answer that question.
The reason why is because, you know, I buy, you know, chicken breasts. Mm-hmm. Chicken breasts. It's really good. Mm-hmm. And it's expensive, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. the lean meats are expensive. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, well, can you have grown chickens in your backyard? How my grandma used to kill the chickens with, oh, you know, yeah. from the neck. Like,
oh, poor chickens.
I know. They were sure good. Mm-hmm. And the mole.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it is a big concern, obesity. It's a big concern. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, as if children are obese and then they grow up as teenagers and then they have, you know, a lot of issues. It can be, again, for my part is the depression, the self-esteem, you know, mm-hmm. they start doing other things to cope with their feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they feel isolated.
Mm-hmm.
They and kids can be so cruel at school. They are. Mm-hmm. You know, they can start making fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the kid who is overweight. And
mm-hmm.
it's just, it's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard.
It is. It's very difficult. It's very difficult.
And I was talking to you earlier that about, I saw on TV there was a lady that was 635 pounds and it took 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Took 7 years to be to 215 mm-hmm. pounds. The surgery that she had to go through,
mm-hmm.
They did a bypass,
mm-hmm.
gastric bypass,
mm-hmm.
And then she lost the weight, but then all this sagging skin was mm-hmm. left, and, you know, take that skin off, and just all of these, I mean, mm-hmm. 7 years for
mm-hmm.
her, and she didn't know, she just started eating and eating and eating and eating since she was little, and it mm-hmm. started when she was little, mm-hmm. and all her life she was overweight.
Right. Which is why it's a good idea and it's a great strategy to start with our kids when they're young. Encouraging them and teaching them about different foods, providing a safe environment so they can taste new foods, providing it again if they don't like it the first time, and really encouraging them and providing them with healthy options, as well as physical activity, because it's not just the food, but it's a variety of things, as we mentioned earlier. Physical activity, being focused, having an environment to be physically active.
So get them into activities. Then.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be activities that cost.
It could be like the El Centro PAL or the PAL programs in the countywide.
Right. So, or mm-hmm. even just kind of getting on my bike mm-hmm. or taking a walk with my family after dinner around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's small cool. things can make a big difference.
What I've heard from parents, though, is that, you know, their child is overweight
mm-hmm.
and they're crying because they want food. You know, they want food.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I, you know, I don't want to see her, you know, see her or him cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're telling me. And it's, I mean, I would, if my child was hungry and crying that she needed food.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what do you do? I mean, going back to educating.
Going back to the information and the education piece.
Give them an apple. Give them an orange. Okay, you're hungry. Here's an mm-hmm. orange or here's a banana. Or here's
mm-hmm.
a.
And finding some experts in the community who can help with that. So whether it's talking to a medical provider, whether it's being able to get a referral to a dietitian, things that can help them start maybe working on division of responsibility when it comes to food and eating between parents and kids.
Stop buying the ding-dongs. Stop buying the donuts. The chocolate bars. Don't buy those.
Mm-hmm. So talking to people, talking to the experts. And, I mean, again, there's a lot of great information. Going to the appropriate websites, there's a lot of great information that can be available for parents to help them make yeah. some small changes.
I know that in public health, and I've gone from, I know this because I've gotten information from public health, you know, they've given away these cookbooks, healthy cookbooks, and they're in English and Spanish on these really good recipes, which mm-hmm. I have also used.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, I mean, it's nutritional, it's informational, it's healthy.
Quick.
And quick.
Easy.
And easy and inexpensive, too.
And inexpensive.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. so I don't know if they're still available or they can go to public health and get information.
They can always call the public health department for information. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the person one might call is Luz Filiatro, 760-482-4763, and she can definitely connect. Anybody.
I know. I need to invite her because I see
you
her.
Should.
I see her around, mm-hmm. and I met her when she didn't have any kids.
Uh-huh.
Now she has two,
three, I believe.
Three. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! And they're amazing. Are they trilingual? That they are. You know, the Spanish, the English, and the French.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My child's I feel my child left behind there. She only knows two. But yeah, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of good information.
Mm-hmm. An excellent source of information. Yes.
But I mean, what we've talked, these are just steps. It's starting mm-hmm. with baby steps, making changes. And I think it's important that if you want to make changes, just start slow, little baby steps.
Slow and small. Mm-hmm. And consistent.
Because, you know, for children, they're like, what are you doing? You're taking away my pizza? You know, you're taking away, you know, just slowly change it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They can even make their own pizzas at home.
Sure. Sure can. Healthier choices. Mm-hmm. Add maybe a little bit of vegetables on top. And it's a great snack or a great meal.
Yeah, didn't the government say that, or did something that pizza is not a vegetable? They were trying I guess the pizza industry was trying to make it into a vegetable because it had tomato sauce.
I think I missed that brief. I didn't read about that.
I was like, what? I don't know. I'm telling you, that'd be creative. But, I know that one of the things that for families is you know, major part here in a Latino Hispanic culture is the food that we make, and a lot of times the food that we make here in the Hispanic population can be very fat. A lot of the tortillas, the flour tortillas, you know, the cheeses and fried stuff, a lot of fried stuff. We make a lot of fried stuff. You know, those are things that, how can you change that? I mean, it's just embedded in the culture, you know, the refried beans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember my mom would buy these chunks of lard at the grocery store. And then you had, what is that white thing? And it was lard.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the beans, refried beans with that lard, and you made the flour tortillas with that lard.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, again, going back and educating the public, educating the families. You can still make healthy food. And I think one of the recipe books that public health offered was on Hispanic, you know, like Mexican recipes, but healthier.
Mm-hmm. Right. So making the small changes. You mentioned lard. Very yummy and tasty, but a healthier option could be an oil, a vegetable oil.
Yeah.
You mentioned refried beans. A healthier option could be the boiled beans or beans that are just mashed with maybe a little bit of cheese. You mentioned cheese, and there's a variety of cheeses. I think we talked about like a mozzarella cheese.
The low skim mozzarella.
Right. There's the whole milk mozzarella, part skim or no fat mozzarella. So the small changes. You talked about fried foods.
Maybe in the oven.
Maybe
through the oven.
Or save it as a treat.
Yeah.
So it's still small changes.
But it's still, I mean, it's very, especially if you have, like, my grandma, you know, okay, grandma, you're not going to make it. What?
So then it could be portion sizes.
Smaller
sizes. So one gets to still enjoy those foods, but they're having smaller amounts on their plate.
I know. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard. It is hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved flour tortillas and...
Mm-hmm.
And maybe once in a while I eat one, but now it's corn tortillas, corn. You know, it's just little changes like that, but now I don't even miss it. You know, once in a while I might have one, like you said, a treat, but basically it's the corn.
And another thing we hadn't mentioned that I had just thought about is my plate size.
Yes, you mentioned it earlier.
Right, I could go to myplate.gov, but...
No buffet?
Plate size, maybe a different plate size, maybe using a salad size plate.
Then people go, okay, I'll get a salad size and just pile it on. But it's important, you know, the portions.
It is, because if I have a big plate, in my mind I want my plate to be full. But if I have a smaller plate, particularly for our kids, a smaller plate, my plates, you know, can be full. My portion sizes are smaller, but it looks as though I'm filled. So plate size can be a very important strategy to helping with portion sizes and eating less.
That's a good way. I'm going to get rid of all my big plates at home and just get these little salad plates.
Good strategy.
It's a good strategy.
It can be a good strategy.
Yeah, it's true. And then you just put it, you know, and it's important and it's fun. Kids have fun with their food also. Mm-hmm. You know, just, you know, the colors and let's try this out, you know, how is it?
Mm-hmm. And offer opportunities. Parents can offer opportunities. I mean, again, in a safe environment where the child feels comfortable to say, no, I don't like it, or yes, I like it, but to try new foods. Mm-hmm. And some kids and some youth haven't really experienced the variety of colors when it comes to fruits and vegetables, or even just a variety of fruits and vegetables. So they're curious.
Yeah. And my daughter, when she was little, I told her about the broccoli. Mm-hmm. Call it the little trees. The little trees. Look at the little tree. Mm-hmm. And just made it into little. Mm-hmm. And to this day, she also calls it the little. I want some little trees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Broccoli, honey. Mm-hmm. But she goes, yeah, I know, but I want the little
trees. It makes it fun.
Make it fun. Mm-hmm. Make it fun.
Right, and inviting.
Again, where can they reach you if they have more information and they want to, you know, since you're a registered dietitian?
Yes. I can be reached at the Public Health Department, and the number is 760-482-4716.
Good. And you're located at?
At Imperial County Public Health Department, 935 Broadway, El Centro, California, 92243.
Yes. And again, like I told them, you know, go to public health. I don't know if they still have the free stuff, but if they do, or they can give you copies or something, they mm-hmm. have really good resources. Like I said, they had those cookbooks. They had some in English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So for our Spanish-speaking only, if you have family members, like I gave one to my mom, mm-hmm. so she only speaks Spanish.
How'd she like it?
She liked it. It was like, oh, okay. And it was so good. They have mm-hmm. there can be a lot of resources, and mm-hmm. and it's very inexpensive, and it's healthy, and it's available.
Quick.
And it's quick.
Yes. So. Always call us.
Yes. Amy, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for asking me.
You're gonna have to come back again.
Oh, I would love to.
After you have your baby.
Okay.
I'll bring the baby so we can too. See. To see what it is.
That's right, because it's a surprise.
Surprise. That's why I want you to come back. Okay, so what did you have?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank
and for our
so
listeners,
much.
Thank you so much for listening. And we will be back next week. We already started the month of February, the 2nd. So Scott will be back with us next week and back from his break from the radio show, and we'll see you back, and have a safe weekend. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM Radio Bilingue, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.